Music provided by Armstrong. Visit armstrongofficial.com to hear more badass music. Welcome to the TriCast Gaming Podcast.
Greetings and welcome everyone to episode number 84 of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Grimlock, aka Philip Keating. I'm joined tonight by Neons, Jason Andrews. Jason, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Glad to be back onto the show. Missed a week. Going to have to turn around and miss again next week. And it's just like I feel a little bit naked.
A little bit naked because you've not been on the show?
Yeah, man. Like I texted you guys in the group. You know, I always listen back on the show and I'm always trying to find like corrections or mistakes that we've made. You know, I always have to like try to find something that you've done wrong so I can get back at you for all the stuff that you find on me.
But it never happens.
No, I got you this week, bro. I got you.
Oh, no.
So
he didn't write it in the show, so he's like trying to drop one on me.
I have it in my phone because I had to like driving and I'm like frantically typing it into my phone so I don't forget during my commute to work.
Wow. It's gonna.
Oh man! But like, I absolutely despise listening to our show. Like, it kills me. Like, I can listen to other podcasts and it's fine. When I listen to our own podcast, I'm so used to having the like
opportunity to have an opinion.
I have feedback and have an opinion, and y'all say something, and I have banter back with you, and it kills me. Like y'all say something, and I'm just like.
Yeah,
I want so badly to have input.
It's gotta be weird because I mean, very, very rarely. I mean, it's only probably happened like two or three, maybe episodes ever that where I haven't been on it. Yeah. So I don't even really understand this sort of predicament that you find yourself in.
One of the corrections that I'm going to call on here. I think I have two. Let me go back and look at my notes here, but. I was literally yelling at my radio driving down the road.
Poor you. Well, I mean, you know, just get your sorry ass on the show and then you don't have to worry about it.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Killing me. Well, I mean, you know, I was saying to you before the start of the show,
have one correction. So
I was saying that, like, I feel like I hadn't seen you in forever, but it's true. It's because, you know, it's been a couple of weeks since. Yeah. And even then, we haven't like played many games together over the last couple of weeks, just because we've both been so busy. So
yeah, no, me and you really have just been we've been talking about. We have been like absolutely slammed at work. I mean,
yep,
you know, working until late hours of the night. And just it's been it's been crazy.
Yeah, I think today was the first time that I finished work before 10 o'clock this week.
Yeah,
yeah. So And I mean, I finished at like 5 today, which is like a normal time. It was so nice just to like not work in a 12-hour day or whatever it's been week.
All week this week, I didn't get home in time enough to even put the kids to bed. Like my wife was like doing all of it. And so she's tired because she did everything all week by herself. And
yeah, it's the worst, man. It's like you're already like exhausted, but then you come home and it's like your fault also because they're exhausted. And it's like, man.
Exactly right.
Like I don't understand why, you know, you have to work so late all the time. It's like I don't know what to tell you. Do you like me having my job? If not, no, you know, me, I mean,
actually I would like to change my response just in case she's listening. I am wrong. I should do better.
I should get up at 4 o'clock in the morning so that I can be done, you know, at a normal hour and be home.
Yeah. So, yep. No, it's my fault.
Yeah. It's definitely our fault. 100% for sure. Well, I mean, I feel like, you know, it's kind of a weird transition, but I feel like I can't go into the show without sort of mentioning it because it feels weird to kind of be able to have fun and talk video games. But I mean, I have to mention, like, my thoughts are with Ukraine this week. And all the people there, because, you know, got asshole fucking communist dictator deciding he's going to go and invade another country. I'm not about that life. So,
I mean, the only, I mean, and I'm saying this jokingly, I'm trying to make light of this. The only good news that has come out of all this is that in, I don't know, 10 years or something, we're going to get a badass movie called The Ghost of Kiev.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be totally down for that. An actual good Top Gun sequel.
An actual Top Gun. That's exactly right. Ghost of Kiev coming in 10 years. Yeah. And it better not be directed by, I saw this on TikTok. Somebody mentioned this and I agree with it entirely. It better not be directed by Michael Bay. Needs to be a legit director.
yeah, a real director. But yeah, no, I mean, in seriousness, it's crazy watching Twitter feeds and seeing what's going on there. I mean, it's wild because the world that we live in today, like I was watching people, they're like, this
with my wife about how it's crazy. We're like watching the war on social media right now.
Or like you could just like go on Google Maps and you could be like, oh, well, all the spots that's red on the roads in Kiev tonight, that's where the Russians are. You know, it's just like. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's weird. It's fucked up. I can't believe what Russia are doing. I can't believe that there are idiots in this country that are somehow excusing and making and finding.
I've seen a lot of that too.
I mean, so if only you know we had assured Russia that Ukraine wouldn't enter NATO. It's like, okay, yeah. So we you're saying it's okay for us to go tell another country what they should want and what not to want, you know, just to play, you know, I don't know. I'm just,
I mean, look, if you go back to the end of the Cold War, the whole, or the end of World War II, the whole agreement, like technically right now, us and NATO have broken that treaty. Like right now, like technically the whole like disarming of their nuclear weapons, we signed an agreement, which, by the way, so did Russia, that said that we would protect them because they were like, how are we going to protect ourselves if we don't have these nukes? Mm-hmm. And we made them destroy their nukes, and they have zero nukes today. And part of that agreement was we will protect you if anyone ever, you know, comes after you. And Russia was like, we will never come into your territory.
Right.
You know, as part of this agreement, I get it. That was a long time ago, but it's not like that treaty expired. Technically, right now, we're breaking that treaty. So,
yeah, I mean, it's, and I mean, like, listen, I don't want anybody hearing this sound thinking
you know, we're warmongers.
Yeah. I actually, in some ways, I feel for, you know, for our government right now, because I certainly don't want them to go running in there. That would be disastrous. I mean, it could crack open an egg that
China's involved in all this. Yeah. I mean, it could turn into World War, which I don't want.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to turn this into a politics show, but I do want to acknowledge just, you know, I can't believe what I'm watching, and I can't believe it's happening. And my thoughts are with the people of Ukraine because, dude, I mean, it's just, I can't even imagine. Anyway, we will try to bring some levity, some enjoyment of video games. Sometimes that's what people need in stressful, difficult times is something fun to think about. So, you know, let's try to have a positive show and try to, you know,
if we can. I mean, not necessarily in Ukraine, but we do have, you know, listeners, you know, in around Europe. The world. We have people who are, you know, in Europe, places like that. So, you know, again, you know, definitely hitting a lot closer than it is to us over here right now.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. So, 100%. So
play some games, have some fun.
Yeah, you know, eat, drink, listen to us, talk about merry. Games.
Yeah.
That's right. Do what you can to try to enjoy the moments that you have in life. So with that said, you know, shoot the breeze, I guess. I haven't done anything this week. Until last night at like 10 o'clock, I had gotten up, worked, gone to bed, gotten up, worked, gone to bed, gotten up, worked, gone to bed until 10 o'clock last night.
Yep.
So I haven't really done anything. I haven't even watched any TV or played any video games until 10 o'clock last night. So I don't even know what's going on outside of, you know, Ukraine and work.
Yeah.
So that said, I don't really know what to shoot the breeze with you on here. I mean, we obviously didn't get to talk last week.
Like, we shot the breeze. We talked about some stuff here that's going on with Ukraine, and we talked about some stuff, you know, about how it's our faults for working too much. Yes. So we're good. I think let's move on to this new little game mode we got going on here.
Yeah, so you came up with this. This is sort of an alternate to Back of the Box Trivia.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell the listeners what the goal is here?
You know, Back of the Box is really cool. We like that idea. But at some point, you know, we start to like really stretch the games, and we also don't want it to start feeling stale. So we were trying to come up with some new like games that would work over, you know, a podcast. And so we kind of came up with some of these ideas, and they really stem from like me and Mike watching a lot of TikTok videos that are sort of a variation of this that are really cool and fun, but they're via watching a video. So we had to like try to evolve that into, you know, and so anyway, you know, a lot of what they do is they do stuff like, all right, I'm going to build a football team, but I'm going to use the Avengers to do it. You know what I mean? And
right.
Like, stuff like that. Right. So anyway, so what we're doing here is we're going to do a video game movie mashup. So we've laid out, all right, what we're going to do on this one is the original Avengers cast members from the movie The Avengers. And we're specifically picking Thor, Captain America, Hulk, Black Widow, Hawkeye, Iron Man, and Nick Fury. You have to pick what video game character each one of those, you know, relates to, fits into, but it cannot be Marvel or DC related.
Got it.
So that's what we're going to do. So let's start with what I believe is the easiest and the most obvious one.
Okay.
And I'll name mine first. And so that's Thor.
Got it.
We're going to go Thor.
Okay. Thor is Thor.
Thor is God of Thunder.
Okay.
Which is Raiden. Like,
I mean, Raiden is the God of Thunder from Mortal Kombat. I mean,
Thor is Thor. Thor is just Raiden, right? Yeah. Like, so Raiden Mortal Kombat is Thor. Like, so what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, so you said this to me before the show as like your example, and you're like, it's obvious. And I was like, dude, I didn't fucking see that at all.
We didn't go through all these together. We just
used this first one.
I thought we were both just going to say Raiden.
So actually, when I was trying to do this, I actually had three different names, and I scratched out the first two, and I landed on someone in the end. Yeah. So I'm going to go with Zagreus from Hades. game from a couple years ago.
So I've not got to play Hades yet, but I know what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So Zagreus is the son of Hades. So obviously he is a god also, but the real reason I went for Zagreus, and Zagreus is a bit young, you know, in the Marvel's Avengers, Thor is a bit older, but Thor is definitely a character that's,
like, the early Thor movies, he's pretty young and making some like almost like immature decisions under his dad. So that works.
Yes, absolutely. So my thought here is that, you know, Thor's character is definitely very brash, very confident in themselves.
Yeah.
A little bit arrogant, you know. Yeah. But ultimately, you know, someone whose heart is in the right place and everything. Right. And I feel like Zagreus is definitely that. Zagreus from Hades. That's a
good call out on the personality of Thor.
Yeah. So that's my shout. I'm going Zagreus.
All right. It's good. All right. Do you want to go first on the next one?
So I'll go first on the next one. So Captain America next in the list. I feel like this one was a bit obvious. I had the least amount of trouble picking this one, and I went Master Chief.
Bro.
Because Captain America is just like all honor, duty, fucking, you know, country before self. I mean,
he's a super soldier.
Yeah,
I have Master Chief as well, but I did do a backup because I thought you may select Master Chief.
Okay, all right.
They're both super soldiers, and they both have that, like, you know, stoic, you know.
Exactly.
So it was just perfect. So I agree with you. But my backup that I went here is I thought, all right, well, what else could he fit into? And I went Link because of the shield. I mean, that is it. They both have a shield that is an iconic shield. Like this, like Cap has the iconic star on his shield with the circles, and Link has the iconic Triforce. logo on a shield. I mean, you know.
I mean, we are the TriCast. I can't argue with this.
So,
with this,
I don't know. It's like, all right, I feel like we're both going to do Master Chief. I'm going to go with Link.
I mean, I like your reasoning, at least, for sure.
Yeah, I had to try to find something to fit in. But again, they both have an iconic shield that they use.
Right. All right, well, back to you. You do the next one.
All right, so the next one is Hulk. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, I struggled a little bit with Hulk, and I have two different answers here for Hulk as well.
Okay.
Which I did that on a couple of people. I have a couple of them. But so my first thought with Hulk was Winston from Overwatch.
Okay. Yeah.
Because
okay.
He's this big, you know, hulking, strong, like slam the ground, jump around. But right. he's intelligent, right? Like,
right.
You know, he wears his glasses. He's a scientist. He's smart.
Yeah. So I mean, I think that's a great shout. Yeah. I think that's
a great shout. Winston. But at the same time, I also was hesitant with Winston because although he does hit the intelligence thing and he is kind of this slam around strong guy, I was like, well, maybe he's not like as ragey as the Hulk is. And so mm-hmm. I tried to find more of like that, like, you know, the like, not Bruce Banner, but the true the Hulk is this like just raging like anger, right. Just all out, you know, rage.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what's the closest thing I can come to? And I was like, Goro from Mortal Kombat. I don't know. So you know, like same thing. You know, he's got the multiple arms, and he's like slamming the ground, and he's just like big, strong, like hulking. And I was like, I don't know. So I think Winston probably fits him better, but the like the pure Hulk side. I think Goro fits a little better.
Yeah, no, I like both of those answers. So whenever I think of the Hulk, I do not think of like Bruce Banner and the Hulk. I just think of the Hulk.
The Hulk, right.
So for me, like the Goro answer would be like the better of the two answers, like for me. But the one I picked was Donkey Kong. And not just like any Donkey Kong, but like OG Donkey Kong, who just stands on top of his tower and chucks barrels down. Donkey Kong. Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, like you said, you know, he's just sort of all out rage smash, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where I went. I went Donkey Kong.
All right. I get that. That works too.
All right, so next up, I'll go first for this next one.
This is a big character for you. You love this character.
Yeah, this is Black Widow. This is one of my favorite characters, and I'm going Joanna Dark. I think it's a perfect one.
I just didn't think of that one. That is absolutely perfect. By the way, like that's way better than the one I'm going to give you.
Yeah, so I mean, Joanna Dark's obviously not Russian, but she is 100% a badass secret. Agent, awesome, just all the tricks in the trade. So yeah, I'm going Joanna Dark. Joanna Dark even has the red hair, just like
it's perfect. Like it fits totally. Like they both wear like spandex type suits and everything. You know, like have a handgun. Like it's perfect.
Yep, for sure. All right, what you got?
So I was trying to think. Okay, badass assassin. That's kind of all I could think of. Mm-hmm. And I stretched a little bit on this. And I went with Assassin's Creed Odyssey's Cassandra.
Cassandra, okay.
So someone who's a complete badass.
Yeah, she definitely assassin. Is.
So I think, like I said, yours is way better than mine. But that's what I went with was Cassandra was just like a hand-to-hand, like, badass and a full-on assassin.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely
Black
see
Widow
it.
Was a like legit assassin, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So that's kind of where I went.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that. I mean, I think it's a great show. Your reasoning's great. I mean, I like Joanna Dark as my answer, but like I do not fault yours at all, for sure.
All right. So Hawkeye was next. And on Hawkeye, again, I was pretty torn here. My first answer, so this is another one I have two on, and this is the last one I have two, but my first thought was Agent 47 from Hitman.
Okay, I don't really see it. What's your reasoning?
That's the Ronin side of Hawkeye, though.
Okay.
Like, if you go full Ronin, and he's just a straight-up murder assassin going after a bad guy. You know what I mean? Like, that... Yeah. Like, it doesn't fit him because he's super, super, you know, like Agent 47 is like quiet, hardly talks, goes in, kills.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I don't know why. I just was like, I immediately went Agent 47, but he doesn't really fit. So what I moved over to was Sam Fisher from Splinter Cell. More of a like special agent. Like, okay, right. If you took Hawkeye and just moved him over into a different universe, it's not superheroes or whatever. He's just a badass, like Navy SEALs, you know, like ops guy, you know what I mean? And, right. And that's really, I'm like, okay, Sam Fisher from Splinter Cell. Like, I don't know. Like, that's kind of where I went with him. So I think that fits better than my Agent 47.
See, Sam Fisher, though, is another like super dry personality type person, type character.
Yeah.
It's funny because you kind of, you focused in on like a totally different aspect of the character. Yeah. Of
I went for his Hawkeye. Abilities and you went for his personality probably.
Yeah. So what I was looking for was a sort of a fatherly character.
Okay.
Because I think Hawkeye is kind of like almost a bit like the dad of the group.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But he's also got a very difficult past. You know, he's got that part of him that is really messed up in a lot of ways. And so I actually had kind of two answers. And the one I went with in the end is Geralt of Rivia from The Witcher.
Damn it.
And again, it's just because Geralt is like, if you think about the story of him with Ciri, you know, he's kind of like, he's kind of got that fatherliness in him, but he also is kind of begrudgingly taking that on. He's got a really jacked up past. He's willing to make like fucked up decisions if he has to. He's a badass fighter. So yeah, well, that's where I went. It,
because I guess we got distracted. Or I got distracted while we were talking these back and forth. And, you know, I loved your Thor pick. My secondary Thor pick was freaking Geralt. Which doesn't make sense at all for Thor. I was just like, all right, long hair, good fighter. All right, I'm going with Geralt.
Yeah.
And I've completely forgotten to make that call out, shout out for Thor. But I really like the Geralt for Hawkeye for the, you know, it really fits the Hawkeye TV series version.
Yeah, for sure. My first one that I kind of was going for, and I ended up scribbled out, was Joel from The Last of Us.
Yeah,
very similar ideas. That's where I
thought you were going to go when you started talking father figure.
Yeah. So he was the first one, but I ultimately went Geralt because I think Geralt is got more of that fighter, that like that hand to hand combat, you know, that part of it, along with other things. So. All right, so I guess it's back to me to go first, and that is Iron Man. This is 100%
by far the hardest one.
By far. And honestly, like, I wanted a character that had two traits. One that was like really intelligent, and not just like, you know, smart as in like knows what to do in situations, but someone that was creatively smart and that kind of intelligence. And then second was one that was very flamboyant, like really like I mentioned arrogance with Thor, but like, I mean, Iron Man to me is like full cocky. On like cocky, flamboyant about his ability.
Yeah.
And really I struggled to find a character that had both of those things. And where I went in the end was Nathan Drake from Uncharted.
Okay. Okay.
Nathan Drake, you know, he can come up with some creative solutions in what he does. It's not the same as what I was really looking for, but he definitely embodies that sort of flamboyant, cockiness.
Yeah.
So that's where I went.
It's funny. We've got a, you know, Nathan Drake movie that's being played by Tom Holland, who is
Spider-Man. Kind
of like Iron Man's, you know, like son he didn't have, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. He's Spider-Man.
All right. So I went a completely different direction than you again, not personality, just because I couldn't think of someone who fit that. Like, I struggled exactly with that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how do I find somebody who fits all this stuff? And I couldn't. And so I just decided to go a completely different route. And this one is way left field. But I went Samus.
Samus
who's a female.
Is a female.
But she has a power suit.
You had soul power suit. You're like...
Because I was like, so Samus, but rich and cocky, and if it was a dude.
That there's a lot of leaps that you have to go through.
Like Samus,
but the power suit matches
Samus, but just has an armor suit, and it's also kind of gold and red.
Hey, I mean, and Samus does have a gold and red power suit and does shoot lasers. You're right. So
that's the closest I could get to. Okay,
I like it. I like it. Yeah, you definitely went more like visual embodiment, and I went way more like personality.
I started trying to do personality with Iron Man, I just couldn't find something. So,
yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I guess I go. I go first on this last one?
I went last. I just now called out Samus.
That's right. Okay. All right. All right. So go for it. So
last was Nick Fury. And to me,
Nick
this
furry.
One was, Nick Furry. Yeah. When I just typed furry in our notes, and he's like, who the hell is furry?
Yeah, I was a bit slow on the pickup there.
Nick Fury. To me, this one again is very obvious. I went with someone who is military based and has an eye patch.
I think you're going to pick the same person I picked.
It's Solid Snake.
Yeah, I went Big Boss. Yeah. Solid Snake. Yeah.
So, for sure. I mean, come on, it's like literally perfect.
Yeah, it does feel like it's like Hideo Kojima was very much reading some Marvel's Nick Fury.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, he's strategic, he's intelligent, he works with other members throughout a lot of stuff. Very much militaristic,
clandestine.
Yeah,
behind the scenes. Yeah.
Yep. It works great for me.
Yeah. I mean, we agree. That's who I picked too. So, Well, how about that? It waited till the very last one. Well, actually, we both picked Master Chief for Captain America.
Yeah, we did. We both picked Master Chief. Yep.
But not too bad. Not too bad.
That felt fun. I liked it.
Yeah, for sure. And everyone listening, feel free to write in and tell us who you would pick, and we'll be happy to read them on the show.
Yeah, no, for sure. If someone has like a really fun take on one of those characters, that would be really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to write in about how my picks were so much better than Jason's, that's totally great too.
You're going to make up a write-in just for this. I know you. I hate you.
Yes. Yeah, I am.
You're like, Peter from Scotland.
Stockholm, Sweden.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the main show, because you know what? Each and every week we do get together to channel our virtues through the Triforce to provide you, the listener, all the hottest topics from the mythical world of video games. We also add in as much of our colorful thoughts and fill up monologues as you can handle in a week, simply because we love video games and discussing them. If you like what you hear, please consider subscribing on your podcasting app of choice. And if you really enjoy it, please share on social media or directly with your friends. This show continues to grow thanks to all of your wonderful support. You can find us on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at TriCastGamingP1, and our website, www.tricastgamingpodcast.com. I don't know why I like saying the WW sometimes. Almost nobody says the WWW anymore. It feels weird to
me every time you say it. I'm like, how old are you?
I like to date myself a little bit from time to time. It's just fun. I don't know what to tell you guys. It's fun to me. I get a little bit of enjoyment out of it. DM us on any platform with your comments, questions, and we'd be happy to read them on the show. All right. Apparently, I fucked something up. Hit me, Jason.
You didn't really screw something up, but I was screaming at you trying to give you the answer, and I thought surely someone from the show last week was going to be like, oh yeah, his name is Steve Ballmer.
Ah, yes, Ballmer. Steve,
I was like, it's Steve Ballmer. It's the Microsoft guy.
I was like, Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs in my head. I'm like, it's not Steve Jobs. Steve Bald guy.
Yeah, Steve Bald guy. I was like, it's Ballmer.
You're absolutely right. Steve Ballmer was the Microsoft guy.
The only other thing is, and now I have it sitting here written in my notes of something that I wanted to chew y'all out about. But I can't remember if it was you or Mike, but I have a feeling it was you, because I want to hate you for this. And
it's,
I feel
really
like
Mike.
Surely this has got to be a you thing. This has you written all over it.
Okay.
But one of you is apparently not a Jim Carrey fan.
Yeah, me. That is definitely me.
You son of a bitch.
I just don't like him.
Bumblebee Tuna, your balls are showing, okay?
I've just always found him to be annoying. He plays the same character in every movie.
Yeah, because that character is freaking amazing.
Okay? No, it's just annoying to me.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
I don't know what to tell you.
Like, I can quote every line from Ace Ventura When Nature Calls. Like, I mean, one of the greatest movies of all time. Dumb and Dumber is...
Alrighty then.
Alright then.
Yeah.
Like, Dumb and Dumber, The Mask. I mean, even The Grinch. He's amazing as The Grinch. Like, he's so good.
See,
so
that's like things. Quite literally my least favorite Grinch movie. And I'm a big fan of The Grinch Story. And we watch like every different version, like pretty much every year, including his that one.
Is so it's good, just, dude. Like, he's
I mean,
so
I will
good.
Say, I will say that that character fits the Grinch the best.
Yeah.
I feel like he's a Grinch. So, you know, why not? But
I don't like him now. Like, he's turned weird. You know what I mean? I don't know. I didn't even like it. What y'all were talking about him with was as Dr. Spotnik or whatever.
In Sonic.
Sonic. And I actually didn't like, you know, him in that movie that much. It just, I don't know. He felt out of place and weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because Mike asked me if he carried the movie, and I told him I didn't think so.
That's probably one of my least favorite movies of him.
I think maybe that might be like, that might have been the role that really made me go, wait a minute, I don't think I like Jim Carrey, because he brings the same character there. And I'm like, Dr. Spotnik wasn't this.
Yeah.
This is not what Dr. Spotnik. I can't even speak. Not what Dr. Spotnik was.
Yeah.
And then I think it made me start thinking about Jim Carrey as an actor, and I was like, I don't think I like him. I don't think I do.
He's got some iconic movies that I just or roles that I just love.
Hey, I grew up with him, man. I mean, he was the Joker or the Riddler? The Riddler.
Yeah, again, I didn't like him. I mean, that movie was just terrible. We didn't like any character at all in that movie. They were all bad.
It's true. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze. Yeah.
It was all bad.
It was all, but that was the Batman that was like, that came out when I was a kid.
I know, and it was still terrible.
You know, and I grew up with Ace Ventura.
I grew up with Michael Keaton, bro. Like, you go from that to, it was just, what happened in Batman?
Wasn't George Clooney Batman?
George Clooney was Batman. Yeah, yeah. He was not good. He was not good.
You're right. Every bit of that Batman was bad. You're absolutely bad. Correct.
Whatever his name is, O'Connor was Robin. It was just bad. The Poison Eye, it was not good, man. It's the classic, you know, during that time, it's like every time they came out with one of those superhero movies, they tried to like shove as many villains into it as they could.
Right.
Like all of them that had like three or four villains were all so bad.
Yeah. It's, you can't like the mashup of villains like that. It just doesn't, it takes away from
I mean, part of the like, focus. Well, you say that like the most recent Spider-Man was really good, but like you go to the original Sam Raimi Spider-Man where it had Sandman and, gosh, who all was in that one? It was Sandman and Goblin and Venom. Was that the three? There was three of them. Right. It was terrible.
Yeah, that sounds right. I can't remember. To be honest.
It was bad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It was the worst of three.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
Anyway, that's it.
I'm not a big fan of
I like Jim Carrey. So,
yeah, I mean, and that's okay. We can disagree. It's fine. All right. Well, let's get into what we've been playing,
which hasn't been much, but
yeah. I'll let you go first because I'm going to actually review a game in mind. So
I installed Lost Ark, you know, 2 weeks ago before I left on vacation to Texas to visit family. Before this week when I was, you know, just slammed at work. So I installed it. I did get to launch it and just barely mess around. I like created a character. I created a paladin. I played him for a little bit. I was kind of like, all right, well, and I had a couple of the buddies that were playing and their abilities looked cooler than mine. I was like, okay. So then I created another character. I mean, like to level like 10, like you can skip the like prologue and it instantly turn into level 10. And so like I went from like level 10 to like 13 or so, like I like ran around the field a little bit and like did some moves, you know what I mean? And I created a melee martial artist and totally hated it. It felt super button mashy with combos and I just didn't like the play style. So then okay. I created a gunner and I did an artillerist, like artillery. And so okay. far, like, so I did that like earlier today. I created it and I played it for maybe 20 minutes. And I think I really, really like him. We'll see. Okay, but so, far from, like, you get like a set of moves because you jump to level 10 and, you know, max level is 50. So you, like, you kind of get like a test out of it, kind of a, and I was like, right. all right, but I feel like I like it. So that's all I've gotten to play of Lost Ark. So I've not gotten deep into it at all. Mike's like level 40. but the other thing that I have played a lot of, and I just don't know what's happening to me. I don't know what's happening. But 2 weeks ago when I was on the show, I was like, I've been slammed. And for whatever reason, I got into this like mobile type game that is on PC. And it was this like Hero Wars or something is what it was.
Yeah, yeah, look, that sounds right.
And I played it and it was like, well, because I played that, and then I went on vacation and I didn't have my PC. It got me going like, oh, well, I really, you know, I was having kind of some fun playing that game, but I can't access it from my phone. So then I started I went to Marvel Strike Force, which is the Marvel version of that game that is playable on my phone. And I've become freaking addicted to it. Like, gosh, dang it. I'm playing a lot of it. And again, because I've not had time, you know, like I can, like I lay in bed at night and like play it just for a little bit before I go to bed. And I wake up and I play it for just a little bit, like as the, like, you know, kids are eating breakfast or whatever. And, you know, like, I don't know, like at work, like in between like a meeting or something, I can just like throw my phone up and like play on it for a little bit. So like, I don't have time to like game on my PC or anything, but like I've had a few opportunities to play it throughout the week on my phone. And, it's really freaking fun. And it's just a strategy game. Really. It's like you're managing things. That's all you're doing. You're not even really playing an action game.
You're telling me it's a middle management simulator.
Yes. It's like an inventory management game. That's what you're doing.
Mike might be very good at it,
but using Marvel characters, you know what I mean? Like, it's all about inventory management. That's 1,000% all you're doing. But there's strategy. Like, there's all of these different characters and you combo them together and there's kind of some strategy.
I'm looking it up in the app store right now.
Marvel Strike Force. It's free. Obviously, it's one of those games where, you know, they throw things at you all the time to try to get you to buy stuff, but you can fully play it for free.
Have you spent money on it yet?
Sure. Well, we've had this conversation about me spending over $600 on freaking League of Legends all that time. Free games get me, bro. Like they throw stuff and I'm like, oh yeah, that looks cool. Yeah, I like that character. And so I just click, you know, instead of like just waiting to earn them, I can get it now. Okay.
So the real question though is like, does it really gate you from being able to like play the game if you don't spend money?
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not. But the biggest thing with it is true to form, like any mobile game. So Call Out, it's been a lot of fun. It's constantly rotating. They're constantly like adding characters. Like they just announced actually today that Apocalypse is joining the game. And there are legendary characters. Apocalypse will be a legendary. So you'll have to like earn him. And you know, it's difficult to earn them. And so, you know, you have stuff like you have, you know, Guardians, you know, and you have Asgardians and you have Defenders and you've got X-Men and you've got, you know, so there's all these like tags of characters. And if you put them together, they give each other bonuses and you can have stronger characters. But the main mistake most people make is they find characters they like. They're like, oh, I really like, you know, Wolverine, and I'm going to make Wolverine like really strong. And he's really not strong in the game. Well, actually, Wolverine is strong now because he got reworked. But like in the past, he wasn't, right? But like,
you're going way too much into the meta here, man.
I know,
you're deep.
I told you,
you are deep. Like,
I've gone deep. So, like, I've joined a clan. I'm on their Discord. We, like, are chatting in the Discord all the time, and there's all these graphics. Gosh. Like, I am in deep, bro.
There's, what a weave.
There's raids, and there's wars against other, you know, clans and stuff like that. So, I'm way into it. It's stupid. It's a freaking phone game. But it's true to form in a phone game in that the only thing that's gated is you have energy. You have your little lightning bolt. And you can only do so much until your energy runs out, and then it's like loads up over time. So it works great for me because, again, the way I have been playing it is I wake up, play just a little bit of it in the morning, and then I go to work all day. And then maybe like at a lunch type break, I open up my phone again and I've gotten energy and I can play it for a little bit. And then I you know, come home and the kids are eating dinner and I've gotten energy and I can play for just a little bit. And then I lay down at night and I've got energy. So that part, it works good. If you want to just like sit down and play this game all day long, like you would like on your Xbox, you're going to have to spend a shitload of money to just constantly buy energy over and over. So it's just kind of a, it's something where it's like, if you're going to sit down and like watch TV or do something, you can just like open up your phone and kind of mess around. It's good for that. But I've never been a phone player. I'm not a mobile games player at all. I don't know what's happened. I got busy this week. Who knows how long this will last, but I have been having a lot of fun on it. So I don't know what's happening.
You don't know what's happening with you. Yeah. You're just,
I don't know.
We got to come and save you, I guess. We need to get you out of there. It's like you're caught in this like quicksand pit, and I need to like throw the rope in quick.
Yeah. Maybe a plea for help. That's right.
This is just a secret plea for help. Wing twice if you need to be saved.
Wing twice.
All right. Well, I real quick, I guess I keep saying this. I'm not going to talk about Far Cry 6, and then I talk about. I'm definitely not talking about Far Cry 6 anymore because I finally platinumed the game. I got my platinum trophy. I had to do the weekly insurgency leader for 3 weeks, and I did.
I would like to. Your TV is right behind you. I would like to watch you turn on your PlayStation and uninstall it, please.
Well, look, I mean, I uninstalled it already today. You know, like if you really want to see this, I can show you how it's not on my cross media bar anymore. I absolutely, as soon as I finished it last night, I uninstalled it. And this was
because you had to wait around for these weekly.
Yeah, it's because they turned the end into like a freaking, you know, game as a service. Yeah. I had to wait each week for the weekly reset of the insurgency leader. So I finished it last night. I got the platinum trophy, so I'm very, very happy with that. Yeah. You know me, I like to chase my trophies.
Yeah.
So that one's in the book. It's done. I really will never talk about it again. I'm not even tempted by the DLC packs or anything. I am done with Far Cry 6. It was a great game. I'm ready to do something else. So that leads me into what else I've been doing. And so I had started talking about Guardians of the Galaxy last week.
Yeah.
And
you were saying you thought it was going to be about a 20, 25 hour type game.
Yeah. And I think that's probably what it was about. I did a lot of pausing and leaving it. So I don't know that I could get an accurate reflection from my PlayStation. But I finished it. I finished it just before we did the show. Just before we started the show, if I could get my words out, I finished the final boss battle. So I was really high on it last week, and I was saying that like I think it might have been my game of the year last year had I played it last year. And I'm still pretty strong on it, but I think it finished a little weak, mainly because I feel like its final two boss battles kind of suck. Like
were they too easy or?
Like a lot. They were just... The arena was uninteresting. Yeah. The boss itself was uninteresting. Throughout the game, like, and they don't give them to you right at the start. You have to earn them. Like you don't get your last gun ability until
chapter 12. That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah. So you don't get your last gun ability to 12 or 13, and they actually do some cool stuff. Like some enemies have different color shields. Mm-hmm. And so you have to switch between your gun abilities to get to pop the shield. And they do actually do some cool stuff in combat with it. And even some of the bosses that you fight along the way, takes into that account. And so I'm thinking, okay, it's the last boss, right? There's going to be like different mechanics where I have to swap between the different gun abilities to do things, and then I'll bring him down. Nope. He's just got a giant ass shield on him. You shoot him a whole bunch. And once the shield goes down, he falls to the ground. You tell your guys to do their little abilities. It only lets you do so much damage on him. And then he jumps up. He gets the shield back. It's like
a Mario. You jump on him three times. And yeah.
Basically, except he's like a super bullet sponge.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this was just a really bad boss fight.
Yeah.
And earlier bosses were better. Earlier bosses were better. They actually did some interesting stuff with some mechanics. I don't know. I say earlier bosses were better. There were still, never mind.
Combat was good. The bosses just weren't that great.
There were some good bosses, but some of them, like the cues for what you did, were a little bit confusing. Mm-hmm. So like, I guess this is a minor spoiler, but, so if you kind of want to plug your ears for like 10 seconds, you fight Fing Fang Foom in the game. And there's like a button prompt that has to happen when you're fighting this boss. I'm not saying his name anymore. When you're fighting this boss, but it's like super high up the screen.
Yeah,
and it's like it's like you missed it. And so like I was literally like fighting this boss for like 10 minutes, and the characters kept saying, "What do we do now, Peter?" And I'm like, I know I'm missing something, but I have no idea what I'm missing. I think there were some good boss fights, but then there were also a couple really bad ones, including this final boss, which was really bad. I guess, you know, another minor spoiler, close your ears for like 10 seconds, but there's like a final boss. All right, spoilers over. And when you get to that, that one was even dumber than the one before it.
Yeah.
So,
do you stay, you know, Peter the entire game, or does at some point you do get to control the other characters instead of just like they're on your team and you're commanding them, but you do stay Peter the whole game? Yeah.
So I don't think that's a spoiler. I mean, I guess people could, but I mean, a lot of the reviews up front were like being pretty clear about that.
Yeah.
So I don't mind being pretty clear about that. You only play as Peter.
Okay.
You can command your fellow guardians to do moves.
Right.
But you only play as Peter.
Okay.
I don't mind that too much. I honestly don't. I mean, I think, like I said, they kind of spread out some of the stuff that you get and as you play the game, and they do some interesting stuff with it, like with your gun and the different like elemental abilities of your gun.
Yeah.
A lot of the combat is really fun. But yeah, I think towards the end, it started to run out of ideas in terms of
the story, though, right?
Oh, the story is dope, dude. Like,
I thought so.
If people like Marvel stuff, and particularly if you like Guardian stuff, you're doing yourself a disservice not playing this game.
Okay.
100%. Like, and trust me, like, remember, I've sat on the show and I talked about Marvel's Avengers, and I actually said that I like semi-liked the story, and I was not as down on Marvel's Avengers as some people, but like, even I was like, yeah, Marvel's Avengers is, you know, not. This game is like a legit good game. This is like when I talk about Fallen Order. Mm-hmm. Like Fallen Order was a great Star Wars game.
Yeah.
It was a good video game.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel the same about Marvel's Avengers.
Good video game, great story, great run of Marvel, of Guardians.
Yeah. I don't know why I almost said Marvel's Avengers. It's kind of the same thing. Guardians of the Galaxy is a great Guardians Marvel's video game. It is also a good video game on its own.
Yeah.
Definitely, I think if you're a Marvel Guardians fan, you need to check this out. I also got the platinum trophy in it. It's really not that difficult of a platinum to get. Yeah. There's only a handful of different combat trophies, and you have to get all the collectibles, which is fine. I like getting collectibles anyway. There's a lot of cool, like, extra dialogue with the collectibles. Like, you go and you find something, and then when you go back to your ship, you go and look at it in whatever character's room. When you
say dialogue, is it like, for instance, in Horizon West, when you... like find one of the little like ships and you can press the button and hear the audio from.
I guess it's kind of like that, but I mean, like it's even more in depth than that. So like when you find the item, It doesn't, nothing happens when you find the item itself, but when you go back to your ship, if you are like me and you're constantly walking around and looking at things, you see that the item has now appeared in somebody's room. Okay. So everybody has a room on the ship, and you pick that item up and you start looking at it, and then that character will come in and there's a whole scene then.
So like
and
a
you
can actually cinematic scene that goes along with it.
Exactly.
That's, that I like.
So it's really cool. They add a lot of extra backstory about, you know, each of the different characters and where they came from and their past and stuff. It's really cool. You know, I learned stuff, and I like the Guardians, but even I learned stuff about them that I didn't really know or realize. And I don't think this is a canon story, I guess, in terms of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but still, like, it's pretty true to the characters. As I said before, I love a lot of the back and forth dialogue. It's really fun. Each character really shows their personality. I really like that part of it. I like the colors. Like, that's another thing that kind of stays throughout the whole game. Like, the colors and the vibrancies of the levels and all that just stays true. And I really, really enjoy that. So yeah, I gotta say, this is a really fantastic video game. And I really recommend it. So I guess, I finished it, I platinumed it. So I'm going to give a score. I think, like, when I was about 75%, it's like what happened to you probably with Horizon. At like 75%, I was like, man, this could have been my game of the year. Like, I'm probably going to give this 5. Like, I really like this game. So, but then it kind of finished weak. And I should say, actually, I did run into like this weird bug where like Groot's voice would just stop happening. And I mean, I get it. Groot just says, "I am Groot," and then people tell you what Groot said.
Right.
And so, like, at least that's the case. But like, he just like stopped making the "I am Groot" sound every once in a while. And I would like close out the game and turn it back on and it would be back. So that was like, but that was like the only bug that I ever ran into. So not too big of a deal if you're playing. I mean, nothing that stop me from playing the game, really. With that said, and how it kind of finished a little bit weak, I think I'm going to give it 4 tryhards, which I think is still a really good score. I mean, I think I've only given 1.5 since we started.
I think that's right.
So 4 is still a really good score, but so on our scale, 4 tryhards, excellent, deserves your gaming time now. And I really do believe that, especially if you are a Marvel and Guardians fan, I think this is an excellent video game and you should absolutely check it out. So that's it. That's what I've been playing. So 2 platinum trophies added in the last week. That brings my total up to 34 platinum trophies at this point. And next up is Horizon Forbidden West is installing on my console right now. That is what I'm going to play next.
I mean, I know what game I want to play next. I'm on Lost Ark, but I don't know, I've barely played it, and maybe it's just because I'm looking forward to it so much right now, because I've seen some clips on like TikTok that are getting me like super pumped for it. And obviously the reviews have been so staggering, but I'm now all in on playing Elden Ring.
Have you played any Souls game before?
No.
I worry.
All in on Elden Ring now, man. I've been watching stuff and I'm like, there's like the video clips that I have seen look a lot like some sort of variation or form of Witcher and Skyrim or something, you know, like some kind of a combination in between those two. And I'm like, I love both of those games, and all right, count me in, man.
I mean, have you ever tried a Souls game?
No, I've never played either one of them.
Okay. No. All right. Yeah. I mean, I read somebody post earlier that said something like, you know, I understand the mainstream hype of this game, but this is a Souls game. If you don't like them and have no interest in a Souls game, you're getting a Souls game by jumping in and playing this.
I mean, I don't know what that means.
Gotcha. I mean, they're typically super, super hard. I'm okay with that. Easily.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not worried about that. Look, I have told you in the past, like when we do stuff, like, you know, we like jumped into the zombie game together, I'm like, it's not hard enough. Like, I want to play games hard. Like, yeah, I like playing in hard mode. I like it being, I don't like just like walking through everything.
Yeah, I'd be really interested to see if you play this, how you get along with it. I mean, it's definitely its own type of genre game. It's not like, because like there is no difficulty settings in Souls games. There is just what it is made at.
There's no Asian difficulty.
There's no Asian difficulty. There's also no sunflower and roses difficulty where everything just holds your hand or whatever, right? So yeah, I don't know. I was like, I have to pick. It's either going to be Horizon or Elden Ring. And yeah. I was like, I don't know that I have it in me to play a Souls game right now. So I was like, I'm going to go Horizon. Because this is what happened to me when, so the last time Horizon 1 came out, it was Horizon and Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to go Breath of the Wild. And in the end, when I came back and I played Horizon, I was like, man, I made the wrong choice. And this is what's going to happen again, because now I picked Horizon. Yeah,
like, I just saw a thing, like a poster today, and it showed like the Elden Ring cover, and it's like where it shows like all of the like ratings, you know, on the sides, you know, like from IGN and from like all the big names. And let's say there was like 10 on one side and 10 on the other. And literally every single one of them were 10 of 10, 10 of 10, 10 of 10, 10 of 10, 10 of 10. Not I mean, like had- tens, dude, like...
So it was sitting at a 97 on Metacritic. Yeah. I don't know if it's still there.
Yeah, I haven't checked this Metacritic, but...
Let me see real quick. Yep, still sitting at a 97 on
which
Metacritic.
Is which is crazy good.
Yeah, I mean, I think it may be the highest rated video game of all time.
It's so I'm definitely going to play it next. And then we'll find out what I think about it. But
best games of all time.
I mean, okay, it very so much has that Monster Hunter feel that Witcher also kind of has. Look to it, and I'm like, all right, cool.
Okay, so I'm totally wrong. If anybody's interested, the only game with a 99 on Metacritic is Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time.
Which, yeah,
amazing. And then after that, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 games with a 98. That's Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, Grand Theft Auto 4, Soul Calibur, and Grand Theft Auto 4 again. That doesn't seem to really count. That's weird. So okay, so it's because they separated the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 version. So
yeah, it's really on there once.
Yeah. Yeah. So technically 3 at 98, and then after that you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12
good amount of 97s.
13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 17, 97.
Gosh damn it, why can't I think of the game all of a sudden? The racing game that just came out. Why can't I think of what it's called?
My brain stopped working. It's not that high.
Forza something.
Yeah, Forza West. Horizon 5.
Horizon, thank you. Forza Horizon.
Yeah, I don't know. It's 90s. Not.
It's like.
It's a 92, which is actually the highest rated 92. Forza Horizon game.
Yep, okay.
So 92, I mean, that's a really good score for them, too. So yeah, a bunch of 97s, and that's where.
Anyway, I'll play Elden Ring soon. So we'll see. But I say soon. I don't know how it's going to be, but that'll be my next game, because I am going to give Lost Ark the good, you know, old try. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I'm going to go with Forza. Now you got me saying Forza. I'm going to go with Horizon Forbidden West, and we'll see if I end up regretting it. I'll probably play Elden Ring eventually.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into the topic of the show, which normally we have a main topic and then a new speed run, but there's not really any standout thing this week, so we're just going to go jump right into the news speed run. And we're going to start with number one. Sony Interactive Entertainment has revealed the design of its PlayStation VR 2 headset, finally. The VR design, which doesn't have a release window yet, will include something inspired by the PlayStation 5 console and new features such as a lens adjustment dial so users can match the lens distance between their eyes. That's really actually pretty cool. Yeah, I like
really
that.
Cool. That's something that my VR. Oculus does not have, or whatever Meta Quest does not have.
Yeah, the VR1 does not have that. PSVR1 does not have that either. So we got a couple quotes here from Sony's Hideaki Nishino. He says, you'll notice the PSVR 2 headset has a similar shape as the PSVR 2 Sense controller, taking on a matching orb look. The circular orb shape represents the 360-degree view that players feel when they enter the virtual reality world, so this shape captures it nicely. The design of the PSVR 2 headset was also inspired by the look of the PS5 family of products. Mm-hmm. When our design teams created the PS5 console, they also had the next-generation VR headset in mind. So you'll notice some similarities in the look and feel. So, I mean,
so Jason, is it huge? Is that what they're trying to say? It's like,
yeah, it's gigantic. It's gigantic. I mean, so to me, looking at the pictures, have you seen the pictures?
Yeah, I have.
So, I mean, to me, it looks
roughly like the console. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not as squared off, you know, it's a lot of round edges.
Right.
And I mean, it looks about the size of the Quest. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the controllers look cool though, for sure.
Yeah.
I like the look of the controllers.
I mean, the controllers look not too unsimilar to the Quest controllers, honestly. You know, yes. The big circles, and they're just slightly different where the circles appear on them, but they look a lot like the triggers are kind of the same. I mean, they look like the Quest controls.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt. So I agree with you.
And as far as the like face of the VR headset, it also kind of looks sort of like the Quest. The biggest thing that I would say that I like, just based off of images I'm looking at that looks impressive to me, is the base Quest is basically just a freaking strap that goes around the back of your head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is like an actual, I mean, this looks like it's probably a lot more comfortable to wear than what the Quest is. Because that's one of the most common complaints is one of the big purchases of people who buy a Quest turn around and spend like $50 for a like they have like an elite headset, and you basically change out the straps and put on a new headset because people complain about how uncomfortable it is, which it is not comfortable, by the way. This looks like it's probably pretty comfortable.
Yeah. For in terms of like the headband and all of that, looks very, very similar to the original PSVR design.
Yeah.
Just tweaked a little bit. And then of course it's got the single cord. You can see just the single cord that plugs into your console. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a positive. It's not
like a crazy bulky cord either, like what you have on the PC headsets, you know, the Hive and all of them. They are a big, thick cord. This just looks like an old school, you know, cord that you would plug into your Nintendo for your controller.
For sure. You know, and just as a reminder, we had already gotten this before, but just as a reminder, you know, the PSVR 2 will feature 4K HDR. And its OLED display will offer 2000 by 2040 resolution per eye and frame rates of up to 90 to 120 hertz, which I think is very important for VR for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's, again, we've talked about this, but with VR, typically they have lower, you know, hertz, and that's what causes a lot of the motion sickness that people experience.
So do you think, I'm curious, do you think like this is just that the PlayStation 5 console itself is running everything on this headset? Like there's no internal chips to this headset, do you think?
I bet you there's still chips in this headset.
Okay. Yeah, that's just weird considering how difficult that supply chain has been. Mm-hmm. It just seems weird to me to be trying to push another product.
I don't know. The last topic of the show is also about new chips coming out, but like I do think it absolutely has a chip in it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like from PlayStation's perspective, because PlayStation already are having enough trouble trying to get PS5s in people's hands. But I don't know. Maybe this thing is farther away. But I mean, we keep seeing more and more information. The flow of information for this thing has increased. I think the next thing we're going to get is whenever the next big PlayStation show that tells us what's beyond God of War Ragnarok is probably going to give us a release date for VR 2. And it's probably going to be this year.
Yeah.
Do you think? Or do you think it's still going to be a 2023 release?
I think this is a 2023. but I could be wrong. I mean, so just for what it's worth, I tried to look into specifications and they really have not said a lot of stuff. But I mean, look, it's got, you know, a motion sensor, you know, six axis motion sensing system with three different gyroscopes, like, you know, like finger touch detection LED. Like, I don't think there's any way they have that without a chip. I don't think the PlayStation is running that. I think the PlayStation is handling the GPU function, but I think it full on has to have a chip for all the rest of this stuff.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, I mean,
yeah, I mean, I'm not a hardware person. Like I would be the worst person to ask about this. So,
I mean, the camera is, again, it's eye tracking per eye. I just don't think there's any way that the PlayStation is doing all of that. And the actual graphics GPU portion. I think it for sure has something in it.
I mean, is that any more than like modern console games right now running on the PS5 in terms of CPU and GPU intensity?
I mean, they're not having to do any of this additional stuff. I mean, they're just GPU. They're just graphics.
Yeah.
This has got all this extra stuff with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure somebody listening is like, dude, it's like so obvious, but I
don't know. And maybe I'm wrong on that. So I just am like, I just can't imagine it's doing all this stuff without some kind of a chipset in it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, and you think it's a next year's release?
I do, yeah.
I mean, I guess that would make sense. I mean, they've told us a lot about this headset already. They said that devs already have dev kits in hand. They're already developing games for this.
Well, yeah. Okay. Let's say, but how long though? I mean, it takes 2 years to at minimum to make a decent game, and VR games are hard.
Like, yeah, but you would develop on a regular PC. You only need the dev kit to like do the technical side of getting it to run on the console.
Look, I'm just saying, like, maybe they turn around and try to do a Christmas release for this thing, you know, a holiday release. Mm-hmm. Going off of consoles history, that's pretty normal, actually. So they try to do a holiday release of one of the, you know, one of these things versus like turn around and it's March of next year or April of next year, you know what I mean, or 2023, you know what I mean? Like, you're probably like, unless it gets delayed, I think their plan is to have this ready for holiday season this year.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm going for. I mean, just for reference.
That's 10 months away.
Yeah. So for reference, PlayStation VR 1 released on October 13th of 2016. So it was a fall release.
Yep.
3 years after the console released, the PS4 console released. Mm-hmm. So fall of 2022 would be 2 years after the PS5 release. But I think they've been working on this headset for a while. Yeah. So it's not unrealistic to me to think that it would be closer to the release of the PS5 console. And I just think we've seen a lot about it. I think that we're going to get a release date later this year and it's going to come out in fall of 2022.
I mean, stopping and thinking about it again and how consoles work and how, look, you're probably right. It probably will come out for holiday season this year. Unless, again, there's something crazy that happens and these are being made in Ukraine and it's slowing down production, right? Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
these are clearly being made in China,
for sure.
So also could still slow down. Anyway.
Who knows what's going on here with China, too? But I would say they are planning to do this for holiday season this year.
And what do you think the price point is going to be?
I have no idea. I don't know. I'm not a PlayStation guy. I don't know what the price was on the first one, but I would bet this thing is $300.
Yeah. So the first one was $500 and you had to buy the camera and the controllers too. So you could end up spending like $600 or something.
Well, okay. And I guess what I was trying to say was the reason I threw $300 out there is because I feel like the Quest has had an effect on the industry, the VR industry.
Right.
I mean, you can get a Quest for $199. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And Vive and all these others are struggling to sell units when they're all $1,300 and $1,500. You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
And there's a competitor out there for $200. So yeah. I don't know. That's where I kind of am like, all right, how much does the console cost? How much is this? Like, maybe they're getting the, you know, the tech is getting a little cheaper and maybe they're figuring some stuff out. But again, maybe I'm way off on that. I don't know. Yeah. I threw $300 out only because of the Quest, but maybe they don't view the Quest as a competitor, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I guess I need to correct myself before I get corrected. The headset was $399. Okay. I think the reason $500 is in my head was because you had to buy the camera and the controller. So that was where the $500 came. So the headset itself was $399. I'm going to go with $399 again for this one.
Okay.
I think they view themselves
as... I can see that. I just $300 out there is a...
Very fair. But I think they view themselves as a slightly better, like a little bit more premium to the Quest.
I would say that all of them do. Yeah.
But I also don't think that you can go and say, buy our $500 console and our $500 VR headset. Right. So I think $399 again with this one. That's what I'm going to go with.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on to number two, another big old PlayStation story. This time, this is journalist Jeff Grubb leaking some information about Project Spartacus. He says it's probably getting pretty close to this actually launching. Something's probably going to happen by the end of this month, and I don't think that necessarily means publicly. I think in terms of the internal milestone of where the service needs to be, Grubb said. So this is a bit of a cop-out line, I think, because it's like, hey, something's going to happen this month. Oh, but maybe not, like, publicly.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, I guess we can't call you out on that if nothing happens. But still, nevertheless, he is saying that he thinks it's close to launching. He goes on to say, right now they are called, the tiers are called Essential, Extra, and Premium. The pricing that he's heard is set at $10 a month for Essential, $13 a month for Extra, and $60 a month for Premium. He then goes into discussing what these different tiers are. So starting with the Essential tier, Essential is PS Plus with the monthly games just like you know it today. The current PlayStation Plus offering includes cloud saving, monthly free games, and discounts. The PlayStation players also need a PlayStation Plus account in order to play online games. So this Essential tier, I think, is what you know already, which I believe is already $10 a month if you buy it individually, but you can buy it for $60 for 1 year. So $10 a month would work out to $120. Obviously, that's a big difference in price if you can buy a year at a time. Then he goes on to explain the next tier. So the extra tier is where you get the downloadable game catalog. So anything on PS Now that was downloadable seems like it would be in here. That this would include somewhere around 250 to 300 games that you don't. He goes on to say you don't get cloud streaming, but you do get 300 games you can download.
Right.
So he's
like what game he's saying. Is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like Game Pass or what is PlayStation Now right now. He's saying that that's what would come into this extra tier. So effectively, so far, it sounds like they're taking their two services that they have, combining them into this one thing and putting it at two separate price points.
Yeah, it feels a lot like when Xbox made their change with Live and Gold and Game Pass and Game Pass Ultimate and had all these tiers and kind of started kind of combining things. That's what it feels
for like. For sure. For sure. And so then you get finally to that premium tier. For premium, the $16 a month, he goes on to say, and I'm just going to read the quote, and it doesn't really make full sense, but I'm just going to kind of read the quote because otherwise I'm going to confuse myself. He says, quote, "Do you get full games? Not really. Kinda, it's like EA Play. You get full game trials. I don't know if that's for every single game that comes out, but it seems like that." While PlayStation has, he goes on to say, "You also get classic games and streaming. None of the other tiers will have cloud streaming. You also get classic games."
I said it twice.
Yeah, that's why I said I'm just going to have to read his quote because otherwise I'm just going to confuse myself. So basically, it sounds like he's saying that This premium tier, the extra content that you'll get with it is full game trials of any new Sony games coming out, which does sound like a good medium place to be. Like, we're not going to offer you our brand new titles free as part of the service, but we will give you
on some of these.
Right. But we will give you a free full game trial of it. Now, who knows how long that'll be, 2 hours, 5 hours, 10 hours. But it sounds like they will do something like that. So that could entice you into wanting to buy that first party game. And then also it sounds like this is where you'll start getting some of those PS1, PS2, PS3 games via streaming, the sort of quote backwards compatibility piece of it. The pricing though sounds weird, $10, $13, and $16. That's just kind of like a weird pricing structure. Now, I mean, I guess that's better than 10, 15, and 20, but I don't know. I just like round numbers, and so 10, 13, and 16 seems weird to me. But yeah, I don't know. Any thoughts here, Jason, on all of this?
I don't know. The pricing feels more in line kind of with Netflix than it does with, you know, the industry game standard of what is existing in Game Pass.
Right.
And again, it just feels like they're kind of following Xbox here, kind of just following a lead, just making some shifts with their services that they have, you know, going to add in a new thing. It does feel, though, like they're still, you know, in my opinion, and I get that, you know, there's going to be people out there like, well, yeah, but you're an Xbox, you know, lover, and so you're biased or whatever. It feels like they're lacking a little bit in comparison to Xbox, because again, Xbox is taking their big new games and making them day one, you know, release included. You know, you're getting your Halo and you're getting your, you know, new Bethesda titles, and all of the big new games that are coming out are hitting Game Pass on day one, yeah. Right? Whereas they're going like, hey, the new God of War, you know, is coming out, and here you get to like have a free trial, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for sure. Haven't y'all always offered free trials for all these games? Like, when have free trials not? I mean, I just think of my time as a gamer. Like, FIFA has always had a free trial, and you know, I mean, yeah. Like Madden has always had a free trial. Like, trials have like existed for so long. You get a demo, right? Like,
yeah,
you play like now I'm paying to be able to have the gosh damn demo. Like, what?
Yeah. See, this is where like if you're on Steam, you kind of have like so much of a better ecosystem in a lot of ways, because you can go and you can buy a game and you can play it for a couple hours, and if you don't like it, you just return it, no questions asked. But here it's like, if you could pay for the privilege to do that is effectively what's happening here. Like, I get it, because I don't think PlayStation can afford to subsidize launching their brand new titles into their Spartacus service the way Xbox can do that, with Game Pass. So like, I kind of get like sort of, well, the sort of middle olive branch of like, well, if you are in this service, then we'll let you try any of our first party games for free for a certain amount of time. Like, if it's 2 hours, I'm going to be like, this is a joke. But if they offer it to you for like 5 hours or 10 hours, then I'll say, okay, that feels a lot better. I mean, EA Play right now, they offer you 10 hour free trials of their games. The part that I don't like that feels a little gross is that it's like, if you want the ability to play classic games, you got to pay at that high tier price. And like, I've heard some people say like, oh, I don't understand why people are complaining about that. It just sounds like you're complaining to complain. It's like, no. Here's why I'm complaining about that. Because if I'm in the Xbox ecosystem and I own these older games, I stick that disc into the console, it triggers a download to let me download that game off of the store, and I get to play that digitally because I've already bought the game, I already owned it, I already paid money for it, and Xbox are giving me that entitlement. PlayStation are like, well, because we don't fucking know how to actually make our consoles do that, you can pay us for the privilege of going and streaming these games and playing them via our service. And that just feels so Nintendo.
It's not any less work either way. Like, like Xbox is still having to create an Xbox version of that game. So it's not like they're you know, basically saying like it, the work is done, right? Like, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels so Nintendo. And honestly, like, I don't like that Nintendo do that. I don't like that Nintendo are charging you like some astronomical fee to play six Nintendo 64 games a year. Like, I don't. And don't correct me. I know it's more than six, but it's not that many Nintendo 64 games. I got it. I don't want to look up the exact number.
Okay. So the other thing I'm looking right now, and again, this is really hard to read by the way the guy's quotes are, and which is why you were just like, I have to read them the way he quoted it, because it doesn't make a lot of sense. But it's like, which version included cloud saves?
So that would be the basic essential version, because that's what PS Plus is right now.
Okay, I was about to say, if that's not included in the basic, I'm pissed.
Yeah, no.
That's also come on, Xbox does that crap.
Yeah, no. So like, if you want cloud saves, cloud backups, you have to have a PlayStation Plus membership. So I think what they're basically saying is like the basic level, the essential level is what PlayStation Plus is right now. So I don't know.
How much does PlayStation Plus cost right now?
That's what I said. I think it's $10 a month right now, or you can buy it as a $60 per year
package. It's not really changing any. They're just changing the name, essentially.
Unless they get rid of your ability to pay for a full year at a time at $60.
There's no way they do that.
I wouldn't think so, but Xbox did. You can no longer... You can't buy Game Pass as a yearly subscription. I guess you can still buy Gold as a yearly subscription. I guess it depends on if PlayStation just do away completely with PlayStation Plus as we know it.
I mean, you'd think that they want your money up front, but I have heard that a big part of subscription services is that they want you to forget about it. And if you pay for it once, you may not re-up and pay for it again. But if it's just automatically happening, I mean, it's just look, I will sit here and say right now, like, I have multiple times re-upped my subscription to Sirius Satellite Radio and been furious
because you forgot.
Well, because I'm like, I just listen to podcasts all the time now. Like, I don't need the satellite radio. Yeah. But once it's paid for the entire damn year, I'm like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, then shit, you know? And then I forget about it, and then it does it again. Then I forget about it, and it does it again. And it's they make it such a pain in the ass to cancel it. And I was like, I've heard that's a big part of what these companies want with these subscriptions, is they almost kind of prefer you to get on the subscription versus pay for it, because they just have you almost forever, you know?
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess in the end, what I don't want to do is judge this service based off of Jeff Grubb's, you know,
rambling leaks. Tweet here.
Right. I mean, he may be correct in this, but I feel like it would be only fair to PlayStation to wait for them to officially announce this stuff and then judge it based on their official announcement.
Sure.
But this is what we've got so far to go off of. So it sounds like we'll know about PlayStation's Game Pass, in quotes, competitor soon enough. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to number three. This is supposed to be a new speed run, and we've hardly been speedy about it. So number three, Activision has reportedly decided to delay next year's Call of Duty game, thus marking the first time in nearly 20 years it skipped an annual release. That's according to Bloomberg, which claims the company decided to push back the release of new Treyarch-led game after last year's Vanguard failed to meet expectations, quote, leading some executives to believe that they're introducing new versions too rapidly, end quote. Yeah, duh. I'm surprised it took you this fucking long to figure that out. Activision is reportedly working on other projects to fill the gap next year, including a, quote, steady stream of additional content, end quote, for this year's premium Call of Duty game, which is going to be the sequel to the 2019 Modern Warfare reboot, and a, quote, new free-to-play online title, end quote, which is probably Warzone 2.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's not lost on me that this coincides with when the completion of the acquisition from Microsoft would be happening.
It's Microsoft's fault. It's Microsoft's fault.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, look, it's Call of Duty is needed to go on a slightly less every year cycle a while. Yeah. So I think this is the right thing. This is a good thing. I don't know what else to say other than that. But it is crazy that they're finally going to miss a year if this is true.
Yeah.
I should say this was leaked by Bloomberg. I should give the credit where it's supposed to be given. So Bloomberg journalist Jason Schreier was the one that leaked this news.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else to say? Nope. Or should I move on? All right, number four, Bethesda has announced plans to close its PC games launcher. And I'm just going to pause here for a second and go, wait, Bethesda had its own PC game launcher?
We literally mentioned this in our group earlier this year. Every single one of us went, wait, what? Bethesda had its own game launcher? Because everyone plays all their games like you bought like on console and you were playing Skyrim on console, or you're playing like, I own Skyrim on Steam. Like, I had no damn clue there was a freaking Bethesda launcher. Like,
me neither.
No, why?
But if you are one of the five people that was still using the Bethesda games launcher, you need to know that it is closing it and moving its titles to Steam. Starting in early April, players will be able to migrate their games and wallet to the Steam account, or to a Steam account, with instructions on how to do so set to be published at that time. In an FAQ, Bethesda said purchases will carry over to a Steam account and many game saves will also transfer, but some may require manual copying. Quote, at this time, we expect almost all save progress to be transferable automatically or manually, with the exception of Wolfenstein Youngblood, which currently is unable to transfer. Listen, if you played Wolfenstein Youngblood, you deserve to not have your game transfer because it's such a shit game. Starting in May, it will no longer be possible to access and play games within the Bethesda launcher, so the migration process will need to be completed before then. So all five of you out there, make sure you get this done starting in April. All right, number five, to talk about a game that I was so excited to talk about earlier. This is less good news. Square Enix has stated that sales of its Guardians of the Galaxy game, quote, undershot initial expectations, end quote. In a newly published presentation slides following its results briefing held earlier this month, the company president Yusuke Matsuda stated that the game hasn't sold as well as hoped, even though it had reviewed well. Quote, despite strong reviews, the game's sales on launch undershot our initial expectations. However, sales initiatives that we have kicked off into November 2021 and continued into the new year have resulted in sales growth, and we intend to work to continue to expand sales to make up for the title's slow start, end quote. I thought it's very interesting that they also said the same thing about Marvel's Avengers, which makes me wonder, one of two things must be true. Either A, Marvel's fans are not that interested in video games, or B, Square Enix thought that because it was a Marvel's game, it would simply just sell like gangbusters, and that is not what happened.
The other thing that I was thinking is like, okay, like this happens in movies a lot. Like there's a good movie, but it just coincides with another bigger movie. Like, so I immediately was like, okay, what else released around this that could have possibly hurt its sales? Like, I mean, even you are talking about, and me and you are both sitting here going like, hey, we want this game, but we're going to do this other one first. Right. You know what I mean? So,
yep.
You know, there's not like, because it released October 21st. So I'm sitting here looking right now and like, the closest thing would be Far Cry 6, October 7th.
Yeah, Far Cry 6, I was thinking.
And then you've got, you know, Deathloop was September 14th, so a month before. Battlefield was November 19th, which a ton of people bought that, and now it's dead because it was terrible. So people didn't stick around for sure. Halo was December 8th. I mean, but that's not like right on top of it. The only thing that could really have interfered at all, I would think, would be Far Cry 6.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, Far Cry 6
is another game.
I mean, Far Cry 6 definitely interfered for me. I ended up buying Far Cry 6 and wasn't really intending to get Guardians because of that.
Yeah.
But when I saw its reviews and I heard how well it was doing, I did go out and buy Guardians at full price.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't, by the time I got around to playing it, you could buy it just about anywhere for $30. Yeah. But I did buy it at full price. And I'm totally fine that I did that. I mean, it's such a good game. I have no problems with the fact that I paid $60 for that video game. But yeah, I don't know. I think that two things happened. I think that Square Enix internally were like, we got Marvel's license. This is just going to sell like crazy cakes because, you know, the movies do so well.
Right.
So I think they probably set their bar really, really high originally.
Yeah.
And the second thing I think that happened here to Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy is Marvel's Avengers. Yeah. That Marvel's Avengers was so bad that people were like, right. I'm not getting burned again, right?
Right.
But Guardians is not Avengers. Guardians is not trying to be a game as a service. It is a single player story. It has 16 chapters. A chapter is a level. Okay? That's it. That's the game. Well, it's a story. It's contained. It's levels. And there's nothing more after it and nothing more before it. Right. Like it's that, and it's a good story. So I guess I would plea to Marvel's fans out there, like if that's what you're looking for, that is what Guardians of the Galaxy is.
So the other thing I would say is like, I don't know, like Square Enix doesn't feel to me like the company that I would think would make a fantastic Marvel game, right? Like, maybe I'm wrong on that, but like they don't feel like a great fit to each other. Like they don't make the kind of games that I would think would be a Marvel type game, right? Like, you know, they're very much a, you know, Japanese, like, you know, style. I mean, they're super well known for their Final Fantasy and, you know, I mean, like it's not exactly what I would picture, but I don't know.
Yeah, but they had their Western teams make these games. I mean, Marvel's Avengers was made by Crystal Dynamics, which is a Canadian studio. And Guardians of the Galaxy was made by Eidos Montreal, another Canadian studio.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they had their Western teams make these games. I mean, Crystal Dynamics made the fantastic 2016 Tomb Raider reboot and its sequel, Rise of the Tomb Raider. And Eidos Montreal made Deus Ex Mankind Divided, which is a great Deus Ex game.
And Tomb Raider.
And then they also made The Shadow of the Tomb Raider, the third in that trilogy.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
And it's very much feels like Tomb Raider. I could see that.
Yeah, yeah. I would say it definitely has like kind of a Tomb Raider feel, I guess, to it.
They did Thief, which was a good game.
Yeah. So, I don't know. All I can say is... if you're a Marvel's fan and you're a Guardians fan and you played Avengers and you're like, I feel burned. Like, I don't think I want to jump into this game because Avengers was, I can't stress strongly enough that these are two totally different games. I mean, Avengers had these stale areas that you went into that were made for like repeatable content that wasn't very good. It had gear scores and all this kind of like, I mean, all like of that shit is just, well, you know what I mean, though. Like, trying to shut, like, get your different Hulk rib cage, you know, like, it was bullshit stuff, right?
Yeah.
All of that, like, none of that is here. Like, this is a game that has got characters, that has story, that has dialogue, that has levels, and each level is different. And, yeah, like, I don't know what...
Guardian 100%. Style. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yep. It is your Uncharted Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. And it is very good. So if you're worried about it, don't be. Go play it. Support this game. I hate to kind of like, you know, shill for a game dev, but this game is really good. You should give it a try. All right, let's move on to number six. Speaking of Uncharted, the Uncharted film has reportedly recorded the fourth biggest opening weekend for a video game adaption at the U.S. box office. Having debuted internationally a week ago, Uncharted hit U.S. theaters on February 18th and generated $44 million in its first 3 days to top the weekly sales chart. According to Fandango managing editor Eric Davis, only three other films based on video game properties have enjoyed stronger openings at the U.S. box office. And those three are 2001's Tomb Raider at $47 million, 2019's Detective Pikachu at $54 million, and 2020's Sonic the Hedgehog at $58 million. The Uncharted movie, which had a $120 million budget, launched in 15 markets on February 11th and made a solid start internationally. It has now earned $139 million worldwide to date. So it is at least
profitable,
slightly profitable. So yeah. I plan to go see this on Tuesday night. I obviously work was insane this week. There was no way I could get out to the movie theater on Tuesday of this week. I plan to go this coming Tuesday. And the reason I go Tuesdays is because it's Half Price movie night at my local theater. So why I go Tuesdays.
Everything that I have been seeing. So here's all I will say in any kind of defense of Uncharted, which I have not seen, you know, again, obviously it's done well here, but it's not been like crazy. You know, it's not like the old school days of like, all right, a movie hits and it had $100 million opening weekend, whatever. Like profit margins on movies since COVID hit have plummeted. Basically the only movie that's been another gigantic hit, like what the old school was before COVID, was Spider-Man. Like that's been like the exception. Nothing else has been even remotely close to like pre-COVID margins. You know, they're not making nearly as much at theater compared to what they were making.
Right. And that's, you know,
people just aren't going to the theater anymore. But now with that being said too, is a lot of these damn movies are releasing simultaneous, you know, purchase at home and theater. You know, or they're in theater and then 2 weeks later they're on a service. I mean, like, I, you know, it's like, so I don't know. I still love movie theaters.
Yeah, I really love going to see movies in movie theaters too. Yeah. I've barely stopped even through the pandemic. Like when movie theaters, as soon as movie theaters started opening back up, I was like back going. I like going to the theater for sure. So I don't know. Looking at the Metacritic score, its critic review is 45, which is pretty bad, and its user score is 6.6. But it has 270 positive user scores versus 97 negative.
So still,
and then if you look at the critic side, it's like 33 mixed. Almost everybody falls in that mixed category from a critic side. So, you know, I don't know what to say about that. I'm just going to go check it out myself.
My only fear with it at all is, I've said on the show recently that I can't stand the Fast and Furious movies anymore because they've turned into just so unrealistic, stupid, just it's like true. Explosions. Yep. And, you know, like it's like every movie they jump a car off a cliff and just like jump out of the car and like land in the water. Like everything's fine. And they just fell 1,000 feet.
And they're like in space breathing without space out.
You know, it's like all sorts of shit, right? Like, so stuff like that, right? So, one of the advertising commercials of this, you know, when the cars were falling out of the airplane, he's like jumping back onto the plane. So I'm like,
you can't do that.
Physics work.
You cannot do this.
You know, like, you guys go talk to Tom Cruise and he'll let y'all know that you can't do that stunt. Okay. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know
it's not possible. Yeah. I agree. We'll see how it is. I'm going to reserve for my judgment, and we'll go from there.
I want to go see it, but I'm worried it's not going to be a realistic action movie, and I've turned into where I need a realistic action movie. Like, I like sci-fi stuff, but it needs to be somewhat freaking believable.
I'm absolutely with you. All right, our seventh and final topic, NVIDIA RTX 4080 and 4090 will be available in September, and will require 1,500 watt power supplies. NVIDIA will be announcing its NVIDIA will be announcing its GeForce RTX 4080 and 4090 graphics cards sometime in late August, followed by a hard launch in September. The initial shipments of the next-gen GPUs are expected to hit stores the same month. This was confirmed by This is a Twitter user, Greymon55, one of the more reliable sources on NVIDIA and AMD graphics cards. Furthermore, as already shared earlier, the RTX 40 series will be an absolute power hog, with the top-end SKUs drawing as much as 600 watts of power under load. That's a lot.
It's a lot. Like, the power supply in my machine right now, and again, I've got a top-end, is like a 900-watt power supply. I mean, I can't, like, to have a minimum of 1,500 is a massive freaking power supply.
Yeah, and that's a lot of thermal load coming off of that, too.
Yeah, well, sure. So a buddy of mine...
you won't need a heater in your
Exactly.
Room.
A buddy of mine just got a 3090 Ti, which was like $2,000. And he is the one who led me onto this story first initially today. And he's like, well, shit, I've got a 3090 Ti for sale now. And one of his complaints has been like how crazy hot it is next to his computer now because of how much heat comes off of his card.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would probably at least get some fan cooling running across.
His is water cooled.
Oh, what? Yeah,
he has like his entire system is, my whole system's water cooled too. And I don't notice any heat come off of mine. I've got a 2080, right? So if you're talking now, he's a 3090 and he's like, dude, it is so hot and it's fully water cooled. Like it's custom water blocked, everything. Like, like I said, it was a expensive, you know, an acrylic water block. I mean, it's a bad mamma jamma card. And he's like, it's a full on heater. So it's just crazy to me that they're already coming out with a new one after all of these chip shortages and all of this stuff that's going on. And boom, they got new cards.
Yeah, it's almost like what is even the point? Yeah, it's almost like just what is even the point for this?
Like the 2080s and the 20 series and the 30 series were not a year apart. I'm pretty sure they were 2 years apart.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me why you need to come out with this right now. I don't really know like how much more performance you're really gaining.
So what I can tell you is in the 20 series, they announced ray tracing, right? And then in the 30 series, like obviously got way, way better with the ray tracing. But even on his, like literally right now, the 3090 Ti, it's the best card money can buy. You can take a top game right now and, you know, let's say you have like an Elden Ring and you put it on max settings with ray tracing, and you're going to get like 60 frames. You know what I mean? When, you know, without ray tracing, you can be at 300 frames. You know what I mean? Like it's just,
right.
Yeah. Ray tracing is an absolute hog. You know what I mean? It's amazing, but so maybe they're just getting better with ray tracing. I don't know. I haven't seen any of like, I don't know, but that's got to be what the next card is doing, is still improving more on ray tracing.
It just feels like, especially given the current situation we are globally, that maybe it'd be like, let's just wait a couple years. Like, people will be okay.
Yeah. I don't think we have to go through all of the next part of this, but basically, talking about all the teraflops that it's going to have and this and that. Look, it's massive. There's a shitload of teraflops. It's a badass card. It's going to be a $2,000 crazy card. The biggest thing with it is, part C, I would say, is where like, so I'll just read it. So as per the industry rumors, NVIDIA has paid TSMC, $1.64 billion last quarter just to reserve their share, of chips, basically, you know, with another $1.79 billion to be paid in the first quarter of 2022. Overall, the chip maker will be spending close to $10 billion just to secure enough supply for the 40 series.
That's
$10 billion.
How are you going to make $10 billion back on these cards?
I mean, again, maybe it's, you know, a part of their R&D too, like that they can get that to be able to help for future. I don't know. Like that's the whole chip, like NVIDIA, absurd. The money that's going around with these chip makers is just like crazy to me.
That's more than Microsoft paid for Bethesda.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
just, yeah, I don't know. If that's accurate, if those numbers are accurate, that is absurd.
Yeah, in 2 quarters, $10 billion, just boop, boop.
Yeah, I can't even fathom.
To be fair, again, just like what we've done before. So that I got this information. This is sourced by a writer by the name of Areej, I guess, A-R-E-E-J, from HardwareTimes.com is where this information came from.
Very good. Yeah, it's always good to source where the stuff comes from.
Yeah, I feel like we need to do better about that, is like sourcing this a lot of times where we're getting our information from and stuff. So
I completely agree. For sure. Always important to give other people their credit because they're the ones doing the hard work. Yep. We're just talking about it. All right. That's it for the news for this week. Upcoming release titles. So this past week, we saw Destiny 2 The Witch Queen release.
I know Mike has been playing it.
Mike is loving it. And maybe he'll talk about it next week on the show. Also today, we saw Grid Legends and Elden Ring release. Obviously, no one cares about Grid Legends. They care about Elden Ring.
But this will be one of those that Grid Legends legit can blame another game.
Yeah. Well, I think it's less about Elden Ring and what's coming out next week, which is Gran Turismo 7, which also is a direct competitor to Grid Legends.
Yeah.
So March 4th, Gran Turismo 7 coming out on PlayStation 4 and 5. March 10th.
You don't think this next game, March 10th, also eats into its sales? I mean, come on now.
Oh, yeah. So Chocobo GP on the Switch. Stupid fucking Mario Kart. Chocobo GP on the Nintendo Switch, March 10th, alongside also Assassin's Creed Valhalla Dawn of Ragnarok DLC, which actually, like, I've played, because I platinumed Valhalla. I just don't think I will.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that it doesn't look good. It's just I think I'm done with
Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Well, you've got so many other games that you need to get to.
Yeah. Like, I'm tired of going back to Valhalla. I want to play the new stuff. I'm
sorry if I've missed this. Have you played Ghost of Tsushima yet?
No. I would much rather play Ghost of Tsushima than go and jump into Dawn of War.
You're a backlogged man.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, I have to pick and choose somewhere. So this is what's going to fall down. March 16th, we've got Tunic, which I'm actually kind of intrigued by. It's a little indie game that very much wears its Zelda heart on its sleeve. Okay. And so this one's going to launch in Game Pass. I'm definitely going to check this out. We'll see how this one turns out. March 18th is Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origins. I mean, if that's your thing, I want to make sure and highlight it. I have no interest in that. And then March 25th, we've got Ghostwire Tokyo and Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, which I'm actually kind of interested in Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
Yep.
And then finally, our last game highlighting in March, March 31st, we've got Weird West. So this game looks really intriguing. It comes from some of the ex-Dishonored devs who created their own studio. So might be something worth checking out. In game announcements this week, Cyberpunk action RPG The Ascent is coming to PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. The game will be released on March 24th of this year and will cost $24.99. Players can receive a 10% discount if they are members of PS Plus and they pre-order the game. This is actually a really neat little game. I never actually finished it, but it does look really cool.
I played it some. I personally didn't love it, but that's just me.
I loved its aesthetic. I
didn't like the gameplay.
Yeah, yeah. I think the gameplay definitely could have been better, for sure. But the aesthetic is really, really cool. Yeah. I love the look of this game. And then finally, number two, Shadow Warriors 3 will be a March PlayStation Now, will be one of March's PlayStation Now games when it releases next month. Developed by Flying Wild Hog and published by Devolver Digital, the latest entry in the first-person shooter series will be released for PS4, Xbox One, and PC on March 1. This is notable because this is really the first, like, outside of one of the Grand Theft Auto trilogy remaster games. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which one of them.
Yeah.
But outside of that, this is one of the most notable, like, day and date launches on PlayStation Now, which makes you wonder if PlayStation Now is getting folded into that Spartacus service at that middle tier. If you could start seeing more of these kind of third party indie games getting hooked into the service as a day and date launch. So there you go. Also, I love the name Flying Wild Hog. What a great studio name. Free games. March's PlayStation Plus games have been announced. You've got Ghost of Tsushima Legends for PlayStation 4 and 5, Ghost Runner for PlayStation 5, Team Sonic Racing and Ark Survival Evolved for PlayStation 4. And then the March Games of Gold have also been announced. You've got the Flame in the Flood, Street Power Soccer, Sacred 2, Fallen Angel, and SpongeBob's Truth or Square. fuck me. Like, why do they even still do Games of Gold?
I don't know. They used to have some pretty good games, but now with Game Pass, they're like, they struggle to like find games that are worth anything.
Yeah, it's useless for sure. Speaking of Game Pass, some new games that you can look forward to this week and next on Game Pass. RoboQuest is February 22nd. That's already available. Galactic Civilizations 3 and Super Mega Baseball 3 were both February 24th, so those are already available. And then finally, next week, you've got Alice Madness Returns on February 28th. That's it. That's all I got for the show. It's fun. Yeah. I don't really have much else to say here other than, Godspeed to Ukraine and Godspeed to anybody playing Elden Ring for, and it being their first Souls experience. 'Cause shit's going to be painful.
I'm excited for it. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm excited to see, like, if you get it and you play it, I'm excited to see, like, how you do with it, because
you want me to come crying on the podcast. I know you do.
I want you to come, cry.
Whoa.
And sit on my couch.
You want me to sit there? Yeah, I'm like, what is happening?
I'm totally not making this sexual at all. No. I want you to come. I want you to sit on the counseling couch. This,
and it's going to turn into a part of our like. I feel like
it's going to be a meme for us.
This is like the meme of Donald Trump, where he's like, "I want you to come."
Damn it! Now I'm just Donald Trump. Okay, great. Well.
You know right, what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah. No,
come on, everyone's had to have heard that by now. Yeah. Or no, he doesn't say I want you to come. He says, I'm going to come. Which is even better.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I didn't say that, though.
Oh, man.
I just said. Okay, so for real, though, I really want to see how you get on with this game, because they are just such a different experience. There's not really any way to explain it.
Yeah.
That said, I love Souls games. I played Demon Souls, I played Dark Souls, I played Bloodborne, I played Sekiro, and I played them all to completion. I'm not I played the first 10 hours.
Yeah.
I played them all to completion.
So you want me to come to completion? Gotcha.
Yes.
Yes.
I want to make sure you're complete.
Yes.
I'm happy.
All right.
Well, you will be a little bit sore, though, by the time you get there.
That's what I have heard about Souls games. It'll definitely tinder you up. It's hard.
All right. I think it's time to get out of here. We're going a bit delirious. So thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the 84th episode of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember, like, subscribe, review on your podcasting app of choice. And if you have any questions for the show, DM us on Twitter or Facebook. The show will be back again next Friday with episode number 85. Have a great weekend. Stay safe and game hard.